This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. That song is called What I Like About You by The Romantics. At the time that they wrote that, there wasn't anything like liking on Facebook, which has become a big part of our lives now and a great way for people to tell the world, hey, here's something I enjoyed. Maybe you'd enjoy it as well. But every time you do that or favorite something on Twitter or on other social media, you're giving up data about yourself. And there are people like my next guest who compile that data and learn things about you as an individual and about us as a society that might surprise you. I saw her talking about this in a very entertaining TED Talk recently, and then I said, well, let's get her on the show to talk about it here. Jennifer Goldbeck is director of the Human-Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland and author of Analyzing the Social Web. Jennifer, welcome to America Weekend.
Glad to be here.
So let's start with what was the title of your TED Talk, The Curly Fry Conundrum. Explain to my listeners what that means.
There's a great paper out of Cambridge in the UK where they had analyzed 65,000 people and their likes on Facebook. And they used that to predict all kinds of unrelated things about people, their sexual orientation, their gender, their race, their age. But they also tried to predict people's intelligence. So they had these tens of thousands of people take a test. And then they tried to find out, you know, are you smart or not smart according to the test? They listed the top five likes that indicated high intelligence. And some of them made sense, like liking the page for science. The Colbert Report was on there. Fans of the show will think that that makes them smart.
Uh-huh.
But one of the other top predictors was liking the page for curly fries. And you just go, like, curly fries really have nothing to do with intelligence. Why is it that that indicates that you're smart?
Yeah.
The same thing happens on the other end. The top indicator of low intelligence in that study with the Facebook page, I love being a mom. Now, I don't have any kids, but I don't think enjoying motherhood necessarily means that you're not intelligent.
No, of course not.
So, yeah, it's an interesting and surprising result, unless you try to think like a computer. Because the computer doesn't know what curly fries are or what the Colbert Report is. It just kind of treats those pages as numbers. And the way that it finds out if it means you're smart or if you're married or if you're female versus male is that it looks at what other people did. And so the hypothesis that I talked about in the TED Talk is that it's probably the case that one of the guys who made the curly fries page or one of the first people who liked it was smart. And smart people tend to have smart friends. And so that guy's friends liked it and their friends liked it. And it kind of spread through and got liked by a bunch of smart people. So at the end, when you click like, the computer doesn't know that it's liking curly fries. It just knows that you're doing something that a bunch of other smart people did, so you're probably smart too.
And so inferring things about you based on what you've liked online, it sounds like, okay, an interesting hobby for somebody, but it actually is big business now, isn't it?
It's huge. And since that TED Talk went up online, I have got so many calls and emails from people who want to incorporate this information into, say, your credit report. Right? Can I infer if you're going to pay your bills on time? I think the technology is absolutely there to do it, but that's pretty scary if our Facebook profiles determine whether we can get a mortgage. Companies can do this about whether they want to hire you. There's research that shows it's very easy to predict if you're going to be a good coworker, if you're going to stick with the job, if you're going to follow instructions. But do you want your employer analyzing your Facebook page, not just for the explicit stuff that you say you like, but for all these hidden things that they're guessing at? It's something that can start infiltrating into a lot of different things that we use in our regular lives, and that's pretty scary, I think.
Now, some people are going to say, well, are there companies who are actually doing things like that? I don't know if it's happening in the employment realm, but you told a story. Again, I'm going to ask you to repeat something that you did in your TED Talk because I was so entertained by it. You told a story about Target and pregnancies.
That's such a good story. So for people who want to read more in depth on this, it was reported in Forbes magazine. And the story goes that there's this dad in Minnesota, and he called up his local Target and got the manager on the phone and was screaming at him because his 15-year-old daughter had received a flyer in the mail with a bunch of coupons for Target for things like baby bottles and diapers and cribs. And he's like, what are you doing? Are you trying to encourage her to get pregnant? She's a junior in high school. And the manager had no idea what he was talking about, just kind of apologized. And 2 weeks later, the dad called back and got the manager on the phone. And the dad apologized because it turned out his 15-year-old daughter was pregnant, and Target had figured it out before she had even told her parents. And they do that by analyzing your purchase history. So Target does a thing they call a pregnancy score, and they can not only guess if you're pregnant, but also when your due date is, because very early on in their pregnancy, women will do things like buy more vitamins than they normally did, or buy a handbag that's big enough that it can hold diapers. Purchase it like by itself, you wouldn't think anything about it. But when you have data from tens of thousands or millions of people, those tiny little things actually give us a lot of clues. And so, yeah, lots of big companies that have purchase history like this are able to guess all kinds of things about you and then use that to sell things to you.
So every time you use a loyalty card, maybe it's at Target, maybe it's at Walmart, maybe it's when you go to a Panera Bread and you buy yourself a bacon turkey Bravo sandwich, that company learns more about you. And all of that data that's out there is allowing people like you and others in the business world to gather more data and make more inferences about us. How can
that's
we protect?
Exactly right.
How can we protect ourselves against that, Jennifer?
Well, I mean, that's the hard problem at this point. With social media, so Facebook and Twitter, those kinds of things, you are basically giving your data over to those companies. They essentially own your data when you put it up there. And in the U.S., you don't have a lot of rights about how your data is used. In Europe, they have much stricter controls over this, but in the U.S., we don't. There's not a lot for people to do other than not put a lot of information online, which is kind of contradictory to why we use social media. The same thing goes for things like loyalty cards. You're giving that information to Target or Walmart or wherever. And on one hand, if you're getting coupons for stuff you want to buy, like, that's pretty good. But there is a real creepiness factor there, even in things that are beneficial, that I don't think as a society we've really figured out how to deal with at this point.
Well, even if it were not incumbent upon us to stop doing these things, although it sounds to me like it might be a good idea to be more careful about what you do online, it's not just a matter of what's in your browser history, but what you're actively doing when you go to various websites and social media. I'm curious whether there's been any legislation or talk of any legislation that would say, you know what, you can't make an employment decision based on someone's Facebook likes.
Yeah, that's a good question. Not a lot. Some legislation that we've seen in this space started a couple summers ago, you know, as we were kind of coming out of the recession, but people were really desperate for jobs, and employers had started asking applicants to turn over their login and Facebook, their login and password for their Facebook accounts or their Gmail accounts. And the employers were actually going through people's accounts as part of the application process, which, you know, is such a violation of a private space. And so a lot of states, including Maryland, where I am, passed laws saying that this was illegal, that you can't ask people for logins to their private spaces as part of an application process. So, you know, once we saw something that everybody kind of agreed was really creepy and objectionable, we did get some state-level legislation. I think, you know, if we start seeing these kind of social media inferences used in hiring decisions, for example, your Facebook likes, that you might get some state-level legislation. But I think getting something done at the federal level, I mean, we still haven't kind of caught up to the internet in a lot of federal laws. So I think it's going to be a long time before we really see good rules about privacy and how this data can be used. We're not there yet.
If we're not going to be protected legally and we're not going to be able to own our own data, would you advise people to stop liking stuff on Facebook?
So I actually thought a lot about this, and I wrote an article on Slate that was published right at the beginning of this year, where what I've decided to do is keep about a month's worth of Facebook posts. And I deleted everything else. I've been on Facebook since 2005. I deleted everything I had liked or posted in a lot of years, which took a long time. But that way, you know, my friends want to see the stuff as I like it or as I post it. And it's rare that they're going back and looking at stuff that's a few months old. And so I think if you do that, right, if you like something and you've got it liked for a while and then you get rid of it and actively maintain that, then there's a lot less data about you online. And that does make it harder to do these inferences. So active culling of your profile, I think, is one way that you can get some more control over this.
Oh, I think this is such a great point, which I hadn't even considered, which is the computer will always know your history as long as it's out there. Your friends don't need to know what you were liking 18 months ago. Oh, that is so good. I like that. Jennifer Goldbeck is director of the Human-Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland and the author of Analyzing the Social Web. And if you go to the America Weekend Facebook page, you will find the link to her TED Talk, and you can like that as much as you want, right?
That's right.
Thanks so much, Jennifer. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. America Weekend.